Good morning. This is your morning buzzcast for Monday, February 10th. I'm Rick Ellington. The XFL is playing to relatively positive reactions after its first weekend of games. All four contests drew around 17,000 fans, which league officials likely will be pleased with, and the fairly raucous atmosphere at the stadiums caught some observers off guard. Reports noted that there were long lines at both the souvenir stands and concession areas, which again, have to have league brass like Oliver Luck feeling pretty good about where things stand. Meanwhile, the broadcasts on ABC, ESPN, and Fox all drew pretty solid reviews, with the in-game audio really standing out. I watched a couple minutes on both Saturday and Sunday, and it looked and felt like real football, not the gimmick-filled alternative that was around in 2001 during the XFL's first incarnation. Of course, before we get too far down the road, we do have to keep things in perspective and see what happens in the coming weeks. The Alliance of American Football got off to a similarly promising start last year, and then it didn't finish the season. Nobody thinks that fate will wait for the XFL due to the amount of money that Vince McMahon has set aside for the league, but it is worth watching to see what happens when the newness of the product wears off and the game has to stand for itself. Regardless, it was a really good opening weekend for the league. One thing that struck me about reading clips about the XFL's debut game at Audi Field on Saturday was that more than one columnist pointed out the fun that was being had at a pro football game in D.C., and that it seemed like a much better atmosphere than anything at FedEx Field for a Redskins game in recent seasons. One thing that could change that for the Redskins, in addition to, of course, a better on-field product, would be to have a sports betting permit at the stadium. Dan Snyder reportedly is trying to secure such a permit as he talked to officials in both Maryland and Virginia about building a new stadium in those states. One problem, neither state right now offers legal sports betting. Snyder clearly hopes to land a deal for a new stadium, but we'll have to wait and see whether this carrot will actually lead to something. The Red Sox have traded Mookie Betts and David Price to the Dodgers in a move that has most of New England up in arms. No, this isn't a repeat from last week's buzzcast, but the trade finally went through yesterday after changes were made to some of the minor leaguers attached to the deal. That means that another round of columns criticizing Chaim Bloom and the Sox for the trade. However, the drawn-out process of the transaction has caught the eye of the MLBPA, as Tony Clark earlier in the weekend called out the teams involved, saying that players too often are treated like commodities in situations like this. Labor talks between the league and the union are slated to really begin in earnest after this season, and it seems safe that this likely will be another talking point in what has the potential to become a really contentious situation. Normally, pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training signifies a time when teams can optimistically look toward the future and leave the past in the past. However, that's not the case for everybody, as teams begin to take up shop this week across Florida and Arizona. In addition to the Red Sox still not having a manager in place, both the Astros and Mets enter camp with large clouds over them for different reasons. The Astros, of course, are still dealing with the fallout from the sign-stealing scandal and will be faced with myriad questions about that system, especially after former manager A.J. Hinch's revealing interview on MLB Network over the weekend. And don't forget that owner Jim Crane has stated that the team will publicly apologize for the scandal at spring training. You gotta figure that a few camera crews might be present in West Palm Beach when that actually takes place. Meanwhile, about 45 minutes up I-95, the Mets will take the field in Port St. Lucie with the failed ownership takeover in the forefront. Reports are that the Wilpons now will not require any potential buyer to agree to the five-year transition period that was part of Steve Cohen's deal that fell apart as the week progressed last week. That's your buzzcast for Monday. Hope everybody has a great start to the week.